The following is an exclusive presentation of WI Garden Media, the voice of Garden Talk Radio.
Coming up on the program today, we're going to go over cool weather plants that you can start growing in the garden right now, as well as mistakes to avoid when in the garden. And our guest is author Kathy Jintz, and will answer your garden questions. The hour is full, so join us.
You are listening to the most informationally packed hour of garden-focused radio in the country and on the internet with your host, husband and wife team Joey and Holly Baird. This is the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show.
Welcome to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show. Happy you are with us. I am your host, Joey Baird. Beside me is my wife, co-host, best friend, and gardening partner,
Holly Baird.
This program is for you to help your garden grow better, to maintain your landscape, grow healthier trees, make your grass look greener, as well as preserving what you grow. Happy you're tuning in, whether you're listening to us on one of the 20 AM and FM frequencies, broadcasting our program here in 2023 through a radio app, through our parent website, the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com, at the Season 7 tab at the top of the page, podcast replay or in-studio video replay. We thank you for doing such. You want to be a part of the program, you can do that by sending us an email to GardenTalkRadio@gmail.com. That's GardenTalkRadio@gmail.com, or you can give us a call toll-free coast-to-coast at 1-800-927-SHOW. That's 1-800-927-7469. If we can't get through, if you can't get through, leave a message, and we will call you back with the answer to your question. So, Holly, let's get in the program, and we're going to go over cool weather crops. That's right.
So cool weather crops is basically anything you can plant as soon as the soil can be worked. I think sometimes people think cool weather crops might mean like winter gardening, okay, somehow. Uh-huh. But cool weather crops just mean that anytime the soil can be worked, and then alternatively you can do this in the fall.
Yeah, too. Get two crops out of this.
Yeah. And so you want to make sure that, or the reason to plant cool weather crops is because these crops do well with the shorter daylight. So you might think, okay, well, won't these crops grow fine in like regular parts of summer?
Not so much,
because they appreciate that shorter daylight. So they like that, and they like the cooler weather. So they're good for early spring. So specifically, pea, onion, and lettuce seeds will germinate as low as 35 degrees. So they can go into the soil basically in many areas now, or even like last week or the week before.
Well, based on your area, your mileage may vary, but yeah, you want to, it's warm now, and is the soil warm enough, and is the long range forecast going to show? Because sometimes we get temperatures where it's cold, warm, hot, and never gets cold again. So you have to kind of fight that. Some of these, if you have challenges in the spring growing them, as we did with turnips and rutabagas, we grow them in the fall as the day temperatures get cooler and the nights get longer. These root crops, the rutabagas and turnips, for our example, do better because they like that shorter day length, colder nights, chill in the air. They do like that. Peas is fine if you get them in as soon as you can. That they take, 70 to 80 days to reach maturity. And there's many different varieties: snow peas, snap peas, shilling peas, there's purple pod peas, there's golden peas, there's green peas. Pick a pea and you can plant it. And you want to trellis those. They have very, very weak stems. And if you don't trellis them, they will fall over and pinch the stem and they will be all but done. So you want to help them. And you don't have to have anything fancy. You can use tree limbs that come out of the off the yard and just jam them in the ground, and they will work that way as well to give them some support on them.
You can even use those, they're called like rose trellises, mm-hmm, or something. They're pretty cheap. Yeah, you can use those too.
Yes, and you know, carrots, you want to cover your carrots. A quick tip, when you plant your carrots, hydrate the soil first, plant your carrots, dust them with soil, and then put a cardboard or some type of barrier, cardboard or a 2x4 or 2x8 over top of them for 14, 21 days until they begin to germinate, and then remove that, and that will increase your germination because you are holding the moisture next to the seed, which needs water to germinate. And if you just plant them like we normally plant anything else, there's so little soil on top of the ground, and when you water it, displaces the seeds so abruptly that you lose a large percentile of germination. By doing the board method or cardboard on top of it until they germinate, you can increase your germination by about 80%.
Right. So then carrots, turnips, so these ones here, the beets, carrots, turnips, radishes, you want to make sure that you just direct sow those. And those are they're all root crops. And then cabbage, collards, kale, those are ones that you can, and broccoli, those are ones that you can direct sow, or you can start them ahead of time. Or sometimes you'll find the seedlings at the garden center.
Yeah, nothing wrong with starting them from or getting the garden center seedlings.
Now, sometimes the garden center might not have these at this point where you can actually plant them. So if you just direct sow them, that's fine too. I did want to mention that things like kale, Swiss chard, and cabbage, and even collards, broccoli, cauliflower, and kohlrabi, all of those will take longer than other things to grow. Mm-hmm. So kale especially, you will be harvesting that later on in the year. Brussels sprouts, same thing.
Well, with kale, you can harvest a continuous harvest. Swiss chard, you can do the same. Lettuce, let's talk about leaf lettuce here. Well, there's many different varieties. There's iceberg lettuce, which is not – we've never had success growing iceberg lettuce. Romaine lettuce, red or burgundy and green. The burgundy doesn't seem to bolt as quickly as the green does. But you can eat that all through the summer as the bitterness is contained primarily in the central vein of the leaf. So on the hot days, your lettuce is – ugh, it's bitter – takes a little extra time, but you can remove that center vein and eat the leaves of it, and it does, and it tastes just fine. And you want to space those accordingly. Now, if you're doing leaf lettuce or a mixed lettuce leaf mixture, you want to just broadcast that wherever you're going to plant it, and you're going to get probably two, maybe three cuttings. If you can do it in partial shade, that's better, because as the days get longer, the lettuce goes to seed because of the day length, and then the heat is a contributing factor.
But then you could also, if you want, if you like that fresh lettuce, you can grow it in your house.
Right.
Pretty easily, too.
And when you harvest your leaf lettuce, you don't want to cut it down to the soil level, as we all have done. You want to cut it about a third of the way, maybe half the height of it. You're going to leave a lot there. But the reason why you're doing that is the regrowth, the cut and come again aspect of it. It can regurgitate, essentially, and start growing more. It can start growing better.
Regenerate.
Yeah. It can start growing. It doesn't take as much time to recover by cutting it at half height versus if you cut it all the way down to ground level. It can start photosynthesizing quicker and start reproducing, and you can get several more cuttings off of it rather than basically one good cutting at the middle portions of spring. Not regurgitate.
Regenerate.
Regenerate, yeah. Yeah. Know your words.
Yeah, that's helpful.
Spinach is the same way. You don't have to plant them in a row. You can broadcast them and just kind of get a carpet coverage.
Pretty much any leafy green, like arugula, you can do that. And
don't follow the spacing recommendations. That's a waste of time, and you're losing space, valuable space.
The cool thing about radishes, I think my favorite thing, is that they take about 30 days to grow, and you can fit 16
per square foot.
That's 9 carrots, I think. Yeah. 16 radishes per square foot. So you really get a lot of bang for your buck, and it happens fast. So if you have yourself or children or grandchildren who are like, I can't wait to go into the garden.
Go out there now and just broadcast some seeds.
Yeah, just toss some seeds out there.
A quick fun fact. Now, this is not scientific, but I figured this out. If your radishes, a couple of things. If your radishes are spicy hot when you eat them, that's because they didn't get enough water. There's always a little bit of heat in a radish. This is the champion red radish. This is the traditional radish. We're not talking about the Easter egg radishes or the Mexican radishes or anything like that, the black radishes. So you want to water them consistently to take 30 days to harvest. Okay, great. If they are hot, put them in boiling water for about 5 minutes. It really knocks the heat that tongue, you know, on your, it really knocks the heat out of the bulb. If you allow them to just go to seed, then you can eat the green pods, which will, if left alone, create more seeds. And they are still, they have a radish taste to them as well. So if you can always plant some and let them go to seed and harvest the seed. Some people pickle the green pods for pickled radish pods. And because we've just let them go to seed year after year, we have dozens and hundreds of radishes that come up all over our gardens. And we harvest some of them, and other ones we don't get to, and they just kind of re-propagate and regrow. So it works really well for that. So a lot of different cool weather crops in which you can grow carrots, turnips, radishes, cabbages, brassicas, Swiss chard, potatoes, a lot of different things that we don't have the time in order to go through each specific one. But it is an opportunity in which you can grow now and in the fall. Now, keep in mind, Brussels sprouts or the brassica family, those, if you plant the Brussels sprouts as soon as the soil can be worked, you're harvesting the final crop about first weekend in late October, early November. They take a tremendous time to produce. So some of these are much quicker, some of these are much slower. So be aware of where you're planting them and what you feel comfortable giving that space up for that particular crop that you thought was going to be out before. And you could have planted something else, but you can't because it's taken longer, because that's how long it actually takes. And we've done this for many years, and it's been very successful. Well, Holly, Walton's is also very successful. Walton's Inc. Incorporated, waltonsincorporated.com.
Yeah, we are brought to you today by our sponsor, Walton's Inc. We know you care about where your food comes from. Canning and preserving your fruits and vegetables is great, but what about the meat? At waltonsinc.com, you can get all the equipment, seasoning, and supplies to make sausage, jerky, and any other meat product your way to your high standards. They have everything from grinders to
anything you need that's
stuffers,
not meat.
Yeah, mixers, seasonings, all that good stuff. And then they have meatgistics.com, an informational site to help you make the best finished product. If you use code GROW50, you save 10% off orders of $50 or more at waltonsinc.com. And then the helpful website is meatgistics.com.
When we come back, we're going to talk about mistakes that you should avoid in the garden that we have made. You're tuned in to the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show.
Have a garden question? Give Joey and Holly a call now or anytime 24/7. Just dial 1-800-927-SHOW. If you can't get through, leave a message and they will call you back. Call now 1-800-927-SHOW.
Grip 6 produces American-made products with sleek designs and quality materials. Based and manufactured in Utah, they have high-quality and durable products to last a lifetime. They are built beyond tough. Their belts are minimalist and one-of-a-kind with no holes or flap hanging over. Designs and styles for men and women. Something for everyone. Versatile to mix and match fashionable buckles and belt webbing. Colorful or timeless designs to match your style. You know how bulky and uncomfortable a belt can be, but not a problem with the Grip 6 belt. Comfortable but durable, a belt that moves and works with you and your lifestyle. Perfect for all the bending, twisting, shifting, and moving during gardening, yard work, and all of your everyday life. It's almost like you're not wearing a belt at all. Designed and manufactured in-house for the best results and quality every time. When you purchase from Grip 6, you're supporting long life cycle products and American-made manufacturing. Check out their belts, wallets, and socks at grip6.com. Use code RADIO15 to save 15% off at grip6.com.
Spring, the season of renewal, an unexpected house guest, none the worse perhaps than ants. And I'm not talking about great Aunt Mabel. When you need to get rid of ants fast, you need Rescue Ant Baits. Rescue Ant Baits are pre-baited, child-resistant, and ready to use right out of the box. No sticky liquid, no mess. Made in the USA by the makers of the popular Rescue Fly and Yellow Jacket traps. Learn more at rescue.com. That's RESCUE.com.
Dripping Springs Oya's clay pot irrigation solves the watering needs for gardens, bushes, new trees, and more. An ancient irrigation system we brought to America. Dripping Springs Oya's, OLLAS, on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. Check us out.
Jung Seed Company is a family-owned and operated gardening company since 1907, with the largest selection of seeds and plants online. Use coupon code 10TG23 to receive 10% off your order at JungSeeds.com. Again, that coupon code is 10TG23. Tree Hugger sprinklers are the ultimate watering device for either your newly planted or established trees and shrubs. Our sprinklers open and close around the trunk of your tree and provide 360 degrees of watering. With our adjustable valve, you can direct the water to your tree's targeted saturation zone. They come in three sizes, 7, 11, and 15 inches. You can purchase a Tree Hugger sprinkler at your local garden center, feed store, or hardware store. Go to treehuggersprinklers.com to find a retailer close to you. Or you can buy it directly from Amazon or treehuggersprinklers.com. If you're an independent nursery, garden center, hardware store, or feed store, you will want to stock this product. Contact the good people at Tree Hugger Sprinklers and they will get you set up. Your tree's best friend. TreeHuggerSprinklers.com.
Wind River Chimes creates a symphony in any space. Chimes that are inspired by nature and designed to make the natural world even more inspiring. Music speaks to everyone. Individually handcrafted in Virginia for over 35 years and hand-tuned for an exceptional precision and lasting beauty. Because in life, the winds of change are always moving. But no matter where they carry you, Wind River Chimes will always be the inspiring harmony. With a large selection and customization options, you will find the sound that soothes you. Visit windriverchimes.com to shop and find out more. Dig planting holes from a comfortable standing position. Step, twist, pull, and plant. Visit proplugger.com.
Rootmaker starts your plants off right and keeps them going through harvest. From their seed starting trays with an innovative design that air prunes the roots to their large variety of grow bags, 1 to 60 gallons, their products will provide you the harvest you've never seen before. Visit rootmaker.com and use coupon code RADIO23 to save 15% off your order at rootmaker.com. The Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show is brought to you by the following: Dripworks, Rise Gardens, Grip Six, Bloomin' Easy, Fleet Farm, Walton's Incorporated, Blue Ribbon Organics, Tree Diaper. Find all sponsors at thewisconsinvegetable.com and thank them for their support. Welcome back to the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show. Happy you're with us today. Before we get into mistakes that you may make in your garden that you should avoid, we got a word from Farmer's Defense.
Farm and garden in the ultimate comfort. Farmer's Defense has lightweight and durable sleeves made to protect you against the elements while farming. Farmer's sleeves offer unparalleled protection of your arms and skin for any farmer, gardener, or outdoor worker. Say goodbye to irritated skin and sunburns in the garden. Their sleeves offer cooling comfort and protection against the elements outdoors. An alternative to thick clothing, Farmer's Defense is made out of wicking material with UBF protection factor 50 plus to protect you from allergens and scratches. To find all their great products and more, visit farmersdefense.com.
So, oftentimes we make mistakes in the garden because we didn't know that they were a mistake until, you know, we never were taught. We never learned it. We never saw it. So we learned from our mistakes, or we learned from things that we shouldn't have done. So we're going to go over a couple of mistakes to avoid to help your garden be better this year. So you don't have to go through the suffering of bad garden, you know, problems. First is bad soil, Holly.
Yeah, so this can be anything from it's too good to be true, this soil is free or cheap or something. Even getting it from your city yard, it could be questionable. Sometimes you might see like this deal, you go to the big box store or drive past somewhere and it's like garden soil, almost free. Uh-huh. And you have to question why. Why is it almost free?
You get what you pay for.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or you get what you don't pay for. So, and we've talked about that many times on the program, that there could be, based on what they're using to compost the soil, the ingredients of the composting, the plant matter may not be the safest, or maybe has some form of chemical that will intoxify the compost in which you are getting for near free or free, whether that is animal waste or plant-based compost. Using chemicals, Holly. Sometimes one chooses to use chemicals to control a problem, to get it back into check, to allow nature to take over. Other times people use chemicals on a regular basis.
Right. So
we don't judge.
No, we don't judge. But I think so when I say using chemicals, it's using them irresponsibly. Uh-huh. It's using them.
If one cup is good, two cups have got to be better.
And I feel like that's the way for even organic fertilizer, organic herbicide,
well,
whatever.
Organic is still a chemical.
Right.
It's absolutely. Just a safer form of.
Yeah. Even just something like a popular weed killer. If you don't use it properly, you could be harming your plants, your neighbor's plants,
right.
Whatever. So you want to keep that in mind.
But I don't think that using certain types of weed killers or abundance of chemical fertilizers, you in your backyard, you're not the direct result of algae bloom in the Mississippi River or in the Gulf of Mexico and Lake Michigan. I don't think your little backyard is making that big of a contributing that much to it, but a little bit in every backyard adds up.
Right. And that's the thing. And then there's also,
you want to be mindful of this.
Yeah. You want to be mindful. You want to, I think a lot of people get excited because they see these commercials or whatever. And they're like, if I use this product, my plants are going to grow ginormous.
And that's what they want you to do. That's called marketing 101.
Right. So
make it sound better than what it really is, so you go buy two bags instead of one.
Right. And so you want to keep that in mind, is that it doesn't take much research to figure out how a plant grows, where a plant gets its nutrients from.
The internet's on computers now.
You have this handheld device in your phone. I'm sure you just searched something 10 seconds ago.
Instead of looking at stuff that freaks you out, look at stuff that, you know, help your garden grow.
Yeah. So you can find this information pretty readily available.
Or you can reach out to us at gardentalkradio@gmail.com, and we'll provide you reliable sources in which gives you the correct answer, not a answer.
Right. And just like food waste, there's also, I feel like there can be fertilizer waste where, again, just because it says to use one cup doesn't mean that using two cups is better.
Right. Planting things in the wrong growing zone. Now, this, if you're buying plants from your independent garden center, they will have them labeled. Your normal garden plants, your vegetable plants, native plants, and tropical plants.
Right.
Big box store, flip a coin.
But even if you go to a local store and you're like, oh, this should grow here, you might get it in your head, hey, I'm going to be the first person that grows an avocado tree in my backyard in Wisconsin. So just keep in mind, or you might have seen some, you know, TikTok or whatever, where they're like, I grew this avocado tree in my Midwestern backyard. Well, and
there's not a
question if it's really real.
It will grow. And if you bring it inside, it will still grow, but not very good, unless you have a three-season porch that is completely heated during winter and it's south-facing and all the conditions are right. There's things that you can grow that's way out of the growing zone that it is intended for.
I have a story about this.
Okay, go ahead.
So I work from home now, but when I went to the office, I would drive past this small business. There was like a business in a, a business park. And they had these beautiful tropical banana trees.
Uh-huh.
And they look like, I don't know, they kind of palm tree-ish, mm-hmm. but not, I don't know, whatever you want to call it. And I noticed that it was getting to the fall. And I got curious. And so one day, I think on my way home from work, I went to the business and I said, what are you doing with those banana plants? And they were like, oh, our landscaper said that they would be okay for the winter. And I was like, that's not correct. And they're like, well, we trust our landscaper. And I was like, okay.
They didn't make the winter.
No. So I drove past in the winter, and obviously they were sad. And then next spring, they were all chopped back.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's ways of doing this. There's ways of protecting plants like that. There's ways of doing such. But you've got to do some research. You've got to know, you've got to have the knowledge in order to do such. and growing things out of the growing zone that they're intended for is not wrong to do if you're able to follow the steps and do it correctly to give the chance, the best chance for that plant. Now, talking about growing zones, if you are going to buy something to grow in your growing zone, whether it's at your local garden center or online, and you're in growing zone four, or let's say you're in growing zone six, buy a plant that is rated for a growing zone of five. Go always find a plant that's rated for a growing zone one level lower than what you are, because we all have those unseasonably cold or untypically cold or freak weather patterns to where it gets to that that next level zone temperature-wise. By giving you the cushion of an additional zone, you are able to assure that that plant is going to be fine through whatever conditions that may occur. Whether you're in nine and you get something for an eight, or you're in four and you get something for a three, give yourself that extra protection, that extra cushion for that plant, so you're not rebuying it every 3 or 4 years when that unseasonably weird weather pattern or snow or cold snap comes through.
Right. And that is very smart. Yeah, so I thought there was one more point I wanted to touch on, and now I can't remember what it was.
Yeah.
But yeah, you definitely want to pay attention.
Know where you're going to plant stuff.
Yeah, that's important. That's another one, is you might think, okay, I'm going to go buy all these native plants, and I definitely have room, and then maybe you don't have room.
Right. And or you have the room, but it is a partial, it's a plant that does best if it has afternoon shade and you put it in a full sun location, or it needs, needs full sun and you put it in a partial shade area. Know where the plants, there's a tag on the plants. It tells you full sun, partial sun. It gives very distinct and very specific instructions on what the plant needs in order for the best success of that plant. So number one, know if you only have a spot for seven geraniums, don't buy 14 because they're pretty colors. And know where you're going to plant them according to how the plant needs to be planted and hydration and the whole thing.
They are pretty colors.
They are.
Yes.
If one needs more moisture, put it near the area where it's wetter or where there's more irrigation at versus something that likes more of a hot, dry climate.
Absolutely. And then another one that I was going to mention is grow what you know you will enjoy.
Uh-huh.
So I've had people ask me, or say, I grow these five things because this is what I grow. But I really don't like okra, but I grow it.
Uh-huh.
Why are you growing okra? Because that's what my family grew and that's what my grandparents grew. Okay, so why are you doing that? Why would you do that to yourself?
Well, dehydrate okra. And it doesn't have the slime.
It's just...
There's 135 varieties of okra in the world. Did you know that?
There needs to be none.
And it's also known as lady fingers in some countries. So fun facts about okra. Another fun fact is Phylum Bioproducts and what it is and where you can get it. Not only just at phylumbioproducts.com, but at local retailers.
Yeah, if you want to control beetle and grub invaders without affecting the rest of the ecosystem in your yard, then Grub Gone and Beetle Gone are the solution. Phylum's Grub Gone and Beetle Gone target a wide range of invasive and destructive beetles, weevils, borers, without harming non-targeted species such as bees, ladybugs, butterflies, earthworms, or other beneficial insects. You can purchase these products locally in Massachusetts at Ward's Nursery, McHugh Garden Center, Hyannis Country Garden in Connecticut at Van Wilgens Garden Center, in Maine at Salisbury Organics, in New York at Fadigan's Nursery, in Ohio at Berlin Seeds. Phylum Bioproducts, target the pest, not the rest. That's Phylum Bioproducts.com.
If you want to carry it at your location, you can get a hold of them at phylumbioproducts.com or reach out to us here at the show at gardentalkradio@gmail.com, and we will get you hooked up with their products for your customers. Hang out with us. Author Kathy Gents will be with us. You're tuned in to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show.
Got a question for Joey and Holly? Send it via email anytime to gardentalkradio@gmail.com.
Do Do you know that overwatering and underwatering are the top causes of plant death? Tree Dapper solves both those problems by absorbing excess water and releasing it back when the soil dries. Use code GARDEN15 to save 15% on treediaper.com.
Chapin has the tools for planting your garden and keeping it growing all season long. Whether your garden is big or small, Chapin has sprayers and spreaders for fertilizing, weed and pest control, watering and seeding. You can find Chapin products at your local hardware store, big box retailer. You may visit them also online at chapinmfg.com to learn more and buy online. Blue Ribbon Organics, providing locally made organic compost and soil blends for gardeners, farms, landscaping, and more. To find our products nearest you, visit blueribbonorganics.com. We know that you appreciate the value of a beautifully landscaped yard, but tackling such a project yourself can seem way too complicated, right? Bloomin' Easy Plants are the answer. Their plants are low maintenance and offer exceptional beauty and color for your yard. Plus, they offer free seasonal care reminders with simple how-to videos tailored to the plants that you choose. With Bloomin' Easy on your side, creating the yard that you've always wanted becomes as easy as plant, water, and relax. Check them out at your local garden center or by visiting bloomineasyplants.com.
Pomona's Universal Pectin is a high-quality pectin that gels reliably with low amounts of any sweetener. If you're trying to reduce the amount of sugar in your diet, you'll love Pomona's Universal Pectin. Now you can make healthy homemade jams and jellies sweetened to your taste. You can use sugar or honey to sweeten. Pomona's Universal Pectin keeps indefinitely when stored in an airtight container. Easy to use, versatile, and comes with directions and recipes in every box. Find out more and where to buy at PomonaPectin.com. Also available at natural food stores and online. A non-selective herbicide that is USDA certified? Yep, No More Weeds by Naturally Green Products. The same great company that brings you No More Bugs, No More Weeds kills weeds with no harsh chemicals and no glyphosate. No More Weeds is a commercial-grade vinegar base with a proprietary sticking agent. Great around pools, decks, patios, and more. Visit natgreenproducts.com. Free shipping on orders over $50 using code FREESHIP4ME. Make watering easy. DripWorks provides quality drip irrigation supplies and equipment to gardeners just like you for all your growing needs across the U.S. and Canada. Purchase online at dripworks.com.
The Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show is brought to you by the following: Chapin Manufacturing Incorporated, Aqua-Mart, Soil Savvy, Wind River Chimes, Wisconsin Greenhouse Company, Pro Plugger, Deer Defeat, Dripping Springs Oyas, Phylum Bioproducts. Find all sponsors at thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com and thank them for their support. Welcome back to the Garden with Joy and Holly radio show. Moments away, Kathy Gents. But first, Rise Gardens.
Rise Gardens is a revolutionary hydroponic gardening system for your home. Instead of food traveling hundreds or even over 1,000 miles before it hits your plate, harvest the veggies, herbs, and greens you need for dinner tonight in the comfort of your home. No green thumb required. Gardening made easy with the Rise Gardens app. Step-by-step guidance from seed to harvest, a complete garden on a shelf, and comes with everything you need to grow healthy and the freshest food for you and your loved ones. Fully customize your garden to your needs and preferences. For more information and get your Rise Garden, visit risegardens.com.
Wonderful. Holly, let's go to the hotline and bring in our guest for this week.
Kathy Gents is an author, editor, and lifelong gardener who believes growing plants should be stress-free and enjoyable. She co-authored the Urban Gardener book with Terry Spite, and her new book is Ground Cover Revolution. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we appreciate you taking time out of your day, not only to educate Holly and myself, but all of our listeners. And I'll start with this question, because I think a lot of people struggle with this. You are very passionate about gardening and making it enjoyable. Sometimes some people may not feel that way and feel very overwhelmed about gardening. What are some ways in which you can advise people to make some changes to find that enjoyment in growing plants as you do?
Yeah, I would say first, grow what you love. You know, there's no must grow list. And so whether that be ornamentals or edibles. And then secondly, I would say reduce what is making most maintenance. If it's a high maintenance lawn, then reduce the area of lawn. If it's a high maintenance vegetable garden, then maybe cut back in the vegetable garden and do more containers.
Yeah, it makes, you know, people, I think, and maybe you've seen it like we have, it's either got to be everything or nothing at all.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems, yes. And that seems to be the catch-all for these people, for new gardeners. Hey, I've got to fill the whole backyard up or it's not worth it.
Yeah, and I think it can be very overwhelming, Joey. And I think that, you know, biting off a little bit, building one bed this year, you know, adding one more container, and then each year adding a new project is the way to go. But I do know you get a little overenthusiastic and try to tackle everything at once. And then, you know, you're just going to have an aching back after right. that.
Your backyard is not a farm. It doesn't all have to be done this week.
Exactly.
So your new book coming out is Ground Cover Revolution. Can you tell us more? So it looks like it came out recently here. Can you tell us more about it so that our readers are interested, want to pick up a copy, maybe a helpful tip that's in there or a little spoiler, if you will?
Sure, Holly. So it's all about replacing turf grass lawns where you can with ground cover choices. And that could be because you just want lower maintenance, spending less time doing your lawn, a little less expensive, or maybe environmentally you're looking to replace turf grass lawn because you want to have wildlife benefits, or you just want something more beautiful than a plain turf grass lawn. So maybe you want something flowering or something even with berries on it. So you would ask for a little tip. One of the profiles of a ground cover I do in the book is on strawberries, and people are very surprised to hear that strawberries can be a ground cover. You've probably had wild strawberries pop up in your lawn as a weed, and they're a natural ground cover. There are native strawberries, and there are, of course, you know, very hybrid ornamental strawberries like Pink Panda. That's a gorgeous one as a ground cover. They're great on slopes. They're great next to sidewalks. And, of course, you even get some edible fruit from them.
Well, and replacing the lawn based on mm-hmm. where you're at, you may get a tax deduction because of water. You don't have to use as much water. And mm-hmm. just for the general sense of there's a lot of chemicals that is used to make these lawns so pristine that if people really understood, they would realize what's really going on and it's not good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fertilizers are based on chemicals, a lot of them, and so you don't have to have those additives. You don't have to be watering when it's not raining, you know, all the time. And, of course, you don't have to mow once or twice a week in the high season. Most of the ground covers that I talk about in the book are either a once-a-year mow back or cutting back with your weed whacker, or just letting them die back, and then they spring back on their own in the springtime.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know, and I don't know if this is true or not, and maybe you can confirm, a lot of the grasses that we have growing in our yards are not necessarily native, mm-hmm. and or they are invasive. Is that correct?
Correct. So most of them, depending on if it's a cool or warm season grass and where you're living, there is a native buffalo grass, but there's very few native grasses in the Americas that you're using for that. But one of the things I recommend in the book as a substitute that looks very grass-like and is native are some of the carexes. So you can have like the Pennsylvania sedge, the Carex pennsylvanica, or the wood sedge, which is the Carex woodyi, and they look and perform just like a turf grass, but they're tougher and they're actually deer resistant.
Good to know.
So you have another book that you wrote about a year ago, and I find this book highly informative, especially for urban gardeners. It's The Urban Garden, 100 Ways to Grow Food and Beauty in the City. Can you share something about that book that would also pique our listeners' interest?
Sure. So we're just coming up on our first anniversary of that book's release, and Terry and I are so happy about the success and the reception that people have had for the book, because there's lots of ideas that you can apply to any small space gardening. And I hear a lot of feedback from readers of it that even if they had like 10 acres of garden, there's still ideas they can apply. So we talk about ways to increase your space, maximize your yield if you're doing food gardening, and also ways to bring in beauty if it's not such a pretty place. You know, if you have like a view from your balcony or somewhere that you want to disguise, we talk about ways to deal with that and ways to increase privacy. So like if you're in a townhouse or you're in a condo or an apartment and you have neighbors that can look straight into your garden, we talk about ways for increasing privacy and the beauty of your surroundings.
Well, let's tie that in. You know, many people think that gardening is extremely costly. What are some of your favorite budget-friendly tips to keep costs down? And I know that, you know, gardening is a hobby and there's a certain amount of expense that has to be endured. But some people think, you know, they go overboard and they think they got to have everything the best of the best. What are some ways that you've found to be more cost-effective but still have really good results?
Well, Joey, you're asking the right person because I live a very frugal and green lifestyle, and I love to pinch a penny. So one of my favorite things is when you join a local garden club or plant society is that a lot of them have plant swaps, and that's a great way to get a lot of free plants, especially when you're starting off. And it's usually when you get to about your 10th year as a gardener, right, that when you have a full garden, you're in the phase of giving away plants. Usually making friends with other gardeners or experienced gardeners, you can get a lot of free plants that way. And even on like your local Buy Nothing Facebook groups, you know, anything like that, you could just put out I need a ground cover to fill in such and such a spot. And it's always surprising how many people have extra plants and are very generous. I find gardeners in general, Joey and Holly, to be a very generous type of people.
Now, is there anything that you need to be aware of if you're going to get free plants that you see online? Is there any certain questions that you should be asking before you just bring it home and plop it in the ground in your yard?
Yeah, I would say there's always a reason people are giving away excess plants, and that might be your warning. if this is a fast spreader, or you might ask them where it does best, and maybe if it's a fast spreader, say like Lily of the Valley, and it could take over a bed in a sunny, well-draining place, that maybe you put it in part sun, you kind of keep it in check a little bit that way. You might ask about the soil, too. You don't want to spread things like jumping worms or some other type of disease issue. But in general, sometimes I'll keep a pot aside. If I don't know the person or I don't know the gardener, I'll keep it in a pot for a couple of months and keep an eye on it to make sure nothing has come along with the plant that I wasn't bargaining for.
Absolutely. So in your book, the Urban Garden book, it mentions something called a salad table. This might be a good option for gardeners who don't have a lot of space or want to grow maybe some sort of grow something additionally to their big garden. Tell us more about the salad table.
Yeah, that's such a fun project. It's basically a raised bed, but on stilts. So you can have it at your waist height or a little bit higher. So great for adaptability and accessibility. And it keeps it out of the rabbit range, right?
So right.
Might be in range for deer, but it keeps it out of the rodents and rabbits down on the ground. And it keeps it easy for you because you don't have to bend over at all. So basically, you're creating a box and putting like hardware cloth or landscape fabric on the bottom. And you're growing shallow plants in general. So usually lettuce greens, some herbs. You could do the strawberries I mentioned earlier. And you can move it. That's another great thing about containers and salad table in general is you can put some wheels on it or you can have somebody help you. So if it's like a hot, humid summer and you want to move it to a little more shade and get a couple more weeks out of those greens, or you can just throw a shade cloth over the whole thing too.
Well, Kathy, we greatly appreciate the time you've offered us and our listeners. How can people find out more about you and get your books?
Sure. They can follow me on Instagram or Twitter or Pinterest at WDC Gardener. So all one word, WDC Gardener. And my website is washingtongardener.blogspot.com. They can find me on Facebook under my name or the magazine's name. And the books are available on Amazon, bookshop.org, from local bookstores and public garden gift shops near them. They can just look for my name, Kathy with a K, and last name J-E-N-T-Z.
Well, Kathy, thank you very much for your time and the knowledge you've shared with us.
Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. And when we come back, it's your garden questions, our garden answers. You're tuned in to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show.
Have a garden question? Give Joey and Holly a call now or anytime 24/7. Just dial 1-800-927-SHOW. If you can't get through, leave a message and they will call you back. Call now 1-800-927-SHOW.
Dripping Springs Oyas clay pot irrigation solves the watering needs for gardens, bushes, new trees, and more. An ancient irrigation system we brought to America. Dripping Springs Oyas, OLLAS, on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. Check us out.
You know what's different about Verlo Mattress? Everything. Like no price gouging, no shenanigans, none of the shady dealings of other mattress chains and furniture stores that overcharge for virtually the same mattress. The ripoff stops here. Verlo makes every mattress they sell, so you get better quality, lower prices, and a lifetime comfort guarantee. Because at the end of the day, you don't deserve shenanigans. You deserve a good night's sleep. Wake up. Sleep better. Verlo.
Mantis tillers, the premium long-lasting gas-powered tillers, are the perfect solution for any garden. This Mantis machine is available with 2 or 4 cycle engines with a 19-inch or 16-inch tilling width. Your DIY companion in your garden and your lawn converts easily for edging, aerating, and more with optional attachments. Find details at mantis.com. Deer Defeat is an all-natural based animal repellent to keep deer and rabbits away from your valuable plants that is odorless after 30 minutes and dries clear. It creates a continuous, invisible shield to protect your plants. Works for 30 days through rain, snow, and freeze. Will not clog your sprayer. Apply to your property without environmental damage. You can spray directly onto your plants up to flowering, then apply around your plants to continue protection. No need to reapply. Money back guarantee. To purchase, go to deerdefeat.com and use coupon code RADIO to save 10% off your order. Head into Fleet Farm, where you'll find everything you need. From tires to tree stands, drills to dog food, toys to tools, they've got it all. You can save even more at Fleet Farm when you join the Fleet Rewards loyalty program. You get exclusive offers, and it's free to sign up. Get everything you need at a low fleet price. Shop in store or online today at Fleet Farm. In 3 easy steps and receive customized fertilizer recommendations for your garden or lawn. Soil Savvy helps you determine what nutrients your plants need to thrive. Never again overapply nutrients they don't need. A patented process that makes you a smart gardener. To get your soil test kit, go to mysoilsavvy.com. Aqua-mart.com has everything you need for eye-pleasing outdoor water features on your property. For over 25 years, we've been creating and field testing beautiful water features in order to provide you with the most reliable products and best value in the industry. From easy-to-install pond and water-filled kits to pumps, fish food, and more, you'll find everything you need to install and maintain a naturally balanced water feature in your yard. Make your backyard a true oasis and maintain it well. Visit aqua-mart.com to shop for all your needs.
The Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show is brought to you by the following: Happy Leaf LED, Root Maker, Jung Seeds, Tree Hugger Sprinklers, Verlo Mattresses, Farmers Defense, Pomona Universal Pectin, Natural Green Products, Mantis Tillers. Find all sponsors at thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com and thank them for their support. Welcome back to the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show. Happy you're with us today. It's time for your questions, our answers. If you got a question, you can send it on over via email at gardentalkradio@gmail.com. That's gardentalkradio@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to give us a call, you can certainly do that by calling us toll free coast to coast at 1-800-927-SHOW. That's 1-800-927-7469.
So this question is sponsored by Fleet Farm and FleetFarm.com. If I were to plant peas in the spring, is it okay to use that same area to plant garlic in the fall?
Yes, it is. What you want to be aware of is in the fall, when you plant those the garlic. You don't want to fertilize the garlic that you're planting. You want to do that in the coming spring. And the springtime is when you fertilize the garlic. If you want to add more compost to the area, the bed, the raised bed, whatever it is, you can certainly do that. But just keep in mind that that garlic is going to be planted in the fall and not harvested until late spring, early summer. Typically in zone 5 here, we plant it in October and harvest it in late June. So it's going to take a lot of real estate up, but you can certainly do that without any problem whatsoever.
So what would you say is best to mulch with? Is it hay or straw?
Straw is the best mulch if you're going to pick one of those, because that is the stalk of the plant. Whether it's oat straw, barley straw, wheat straw, it may still contain some grains of barley, wheat, oats, whatever that is, but it'll be minimal. Hay is the grasses that is cut for animal feed, which will contain a lot of grass seeds. So you want to avoid that at all costs, because we don't want to introduce more things into the garden than what we have already. So straw is the best way to go. You can find straw at your farm store, at your independent garden center. Some big box stores have straw. It is going to be a premium. You're going to pay quite a bit, you know, $8, $9 for a bale. So if there's other means of mulch that you can use, that would be the way to go, whether you have leaves left over, whether you're using chemical-free, seed-free grass clippings. People will use shredded paper. They will use a weed barrier, like a fabric weed barrier, which we don't recommend because it doesn't always allow the water to permeate through appropriately. You can use just a variety of different things as mulch, but straw is the better of the two options when it comes to picking one or the other. All right, Holly.
So what is the best time to check soil temperatures with a digital meat thermometer?
Digital meat thermometer, you're going to check it at the root zone before you plant. And early morning, as you get up, right before you go to work or whatever you do in the morning, that's when the soil is going to be the coldest. And that's when you would want to check your the soil temperature to see if it is the adequate temperature that you need for whatever you're planting. And if the long-range forecast meets or exceeds that temperature in the soil, then you're good to go. So here's one. I want to plant blueberry bushes, but my soil is high in pH. Blueberries need a low pH level, low acidity. What would you recommend in order to put in the bed in order to do this? Well, first of all, we'll answer the question, but once we get done answering the question, you will understand why I say just plant blackberries or dewberries or golden raspberries or something like that. Don't plant the blueberries. So yeah. Soil pH can be reduced most effectively by adding elements like sulfur, aluminum sulfate, and sulfuric acid. The choice of which material to use depends on how fast you hope to change that pH level and the type of plant you're expecting to put in that area. Adding pine needles does not change the pH level. So let's get that clear. That is a garden myth. Look it up online. Can't do it. In general, the best way to reduce the soil pH before planting an ornamental or a plant, do it before you put it in the ground. Don't put the plant in the ground and then try to alter the pH level after you plant, because it's very difficult. How long, Holly, does it take to lower the pH in your soil?
Well, that's a good question. It's a long-term project. So if your alkalinity is 8.5 or higher, it may take several years. So we're not talking about some quick, easy fix. You are literally having to alter the chemical makeup of your soil, and it can take a while.
This is not just like adding liquid compost tea into the soil and making the plant happier. This is a long process if you're wanting to do blueberries. So blackberries or raspberries or something like that is a much more economical and time-saving fruit if you want to grow something that is a perennial.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And the thing is that if you really want your own blueberries,
yes,
I'm sick of going to the store and buying these blueberries or whatever, you can also find Pick Your Own Farms. Mm-hmm. I think it's pickyourown.org, something like that. You can Google Pick Your Own Farm in your zip code. It's going to show you the closest Pick Your Own Farm. If you live in an area, maybe there aren't Pick Your Own Farms close by, I would highly suggest just trying to buy blueberries when they're on sale, and if you want to freeze them or use them, whatever, can them, etc., make things with them, then I would do that and just think about when they're on sale. Because taking several years to alter your soil, I mean, it's probably something that you could do, not saying you shouldn't, but at the same time,
And there are great places all over the country that have that level of acidity already in the soil naturally, and this person obviously must not live in those areas. But that's why I say grow something that you don't have to spend years in order to prepare the soil for. It's Holly. I've seen people online talking about using paraffin wax for canning. What are they using it for, and should I start using it when I'm canning?
So sometimes people use it to seal the top of their...
This is the big block, like that looks like a block of butter. That you get at your hardware store.
Okay. Sometimes, so people used to use it in canning as like an additional seal.
Okay.
I don't know if it was because they didn't have the two part lids. I'm not really sure why. I don't know why they still sell it. I don't know why people are using it, unless it's some sort of aesthetic thing that they think it looks cool. But it's not something you want to use.
It's not recommended.
It's not recommended.
And it's not safe, is it?
It's not safe, but when you're canning...
The home food... What is it? National Center for Home and Food Preservation? Am I saying that correct?
Yeah. I honestly don't know in regards to the safety of it from the National Center for Home Food Preservation.
But they're not advising, hey, go get 50 pounds of this and use it for... canning.
No.
Yeah.
No,
okay.
Not at all. I don't know. Now I sound like my parents. Everything comes back around again. What's old is new and new is old, blah, blah, blah.
But it's still unsafe. It's still unsafe.
Like, are you going to let your kids eat the lead paint on the windowsill? No. I wouldn't use paraffin wax in my canning.
You can use it in a candle, but don't use it in your can.
And I think people use that for, like, softening their hands or something.
This was done years and years. Whenever I was young, I remember popping the wax off of the top of the jam. I do remember that. I don't remember ever it being done any other time.
Don't look at me like I know this, okay? I didn't grow up with the home can goods, okay?
I know. Yeah. But yeah, it was put on top of jam. Was that the only application? It wasn't like on green beans or anything else, was it? It was jam?
I think it was just jam.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Holly. Let's see. Planting seed potatoes. I cut them in chunks and make sure there are at least one or two eyes per chunk, and they're no larger or no smaller than a chicken egg. I cut them in order to get more seed potatoes for my garden. My question is, should I let them dry and scab over naturally, or do I just plant them, or do I put some kind of powder on them? What do you recommend?
So you could just plant them.
Okay.
So there's a couple options here. You could just plant them as is.
Uh-huh.
You could let them scab over. Or you can also use, if you're talking about like a powder, you could use horticulture sulfur, and that's a powder typically used to acidify the soil, but you can also put it on the cut potatoes to protect them from rot, or sometimes it protects them from soil-borne diseases. So what you would do is you would dip each piece of a potato into the container of the sulfur powder, cover all the cuts, and then plant them.
But you're not using that sulfur to change the pH where you're planting the potatoes. This is just as a protection to the potatoes.
Right. That's what it's used for. But no, yeah. It's going to be protection. And then, but scabbing them over is fine too. So say you're like, I'm going to cut my potatoes on Sunday. I'm going to plant them on Friday.
Uh-huh.
You could do that.
Yeah. And if the potato is the size of a medium-sized chicken egg, or smaller, you don't need to cut it. I mean, obviously, the smaller the potato, the less energy is in the potato to make the growth to come out and produce more potatoes. So medium-sized chicken eggs, about as small. I mean, we've thrown handfuls of tiny potatoes in, and they've really not matured or done anything. But it made us feel good that we didn't waste them. They rotted in the ground because it wasn't enough energy to do anything. But you can cut them to extend how many potatoes you're planting, or you can plant the whole potato. University studies have shown that the yield is the same. So it's up to you. And yes, we've answered this question before in the program. You can use store-bought potatoes to grow in your garden if those store-bought potatoes are already sprouting. If they are not sprouting, they have been sprayed or have some type of growth inhibitor to prevent them from sprouting, so they are more pleasing to you and they don't look bad in the bag and they have a longer shelf life. But if they are an organic variety and sprouting, you can certainly put them in the ground. You just really want to try to figure out, look on the package, try to do some research and find out what variety they are, so you know if they're going to be ready in 70, 90, or 130 days to have an ideal of when they will be ready. Well, with that, Holly, we are out of time, and we thank you for yours. Did you miss any portion of the program today or would like to revisit it? You can certainly do that by going to our parent website, which is thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com, and clicking on the Season 7 tab at the top of the page. Or you can send us an email to gardentalkradio@gmail.com, and we'll send you a link to this show so you can catch up on what you missed. Tune into the program next week as we will be discussing the understanding of seeds, hybrid, heirloom, F1, F2, they're not race cars or race leagues, but we're going to discuss all that and what that means and how that can affect your garden, as well as spring lawn care maintenance. Our guest is author Kelly Smith Trebell, and we'll answer your garden questions. So until next week, for
Holly Baird,
I'm Joy Baird, and we will see you in the garden.